Stone and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I cannot wait. Next Friday, the first preseason game. It's just, I'm excited to see the Titans hit somebody else. I now understand, having covered training camp now every day this year, I understand, like, it kind of gets boring to see the same guys hit each other. It's time to hit somebody else. But
it's very poetic of you.
Thank you. There has been big movement in the AFC South, as we have discussed at length this week, with the Indianapolis Colts losing Carson Wentz for 5 to 12 weeks and losing Quentin Nelson for 5 to 12 weeks. And the fact that some of us didn't even think the Colts were going to be that good anyways, but now they're losing both of those guys. And I have declared them dead. I have declared the AFC South over. No doing on the Titans' part. It's just we know Houston and Jacksonville are a mess, and now there's Indy. Marcus Spears, this morning on ESPN, he says, boy, Indianapolis better be worried.
It's catastrophic, G, and I'm scared, okay? I feel terrible for where the Colts are right now, man. And listen, this is built on optimism that Carson Wentz was going to be better, right? This was built on the fact that the time on job, the time on the field, the recreation of him and Frank Reich's energy and synergy trying to get ready for a season was supposed to bring us into a season where Carson Wentz reemerges and the Indianapolis Colts are legit Super Bowl contenders, and now you lose him. So not only we don't know how many weeks, but we know a lot of preparation is going to be lost for Carson Wentz, who's coming off a bad season. Might I remind people, Carson Wentz wasn't traded to the Indianapolis Colts because he balled out of his mind and it was a blockbuster trade that needed to be made. Mm-hmm. He was traded because we thought the coach would resurrect his career and what he was doing. Now we deal with another injury and the injury tag is getting attached to that. And then you lose Quentin Nelson.
That's where Indy is. So I'm taking them out of the teams to be worried about. When I covered the Patriots in New England, there was never any talk about how worried were you of the Buffalo Bills. There was never talk about worrying about the Dolphins or the Jets. It was always Manning and the Broncos, Baltimore, who had beaten them in the AFC championship game, maybe the Texans with J.J. Watt. Like, there were a handful of teams they were worried about, but they weren't worried about the teams in the division that the Patriots were in. So I ask this question to everybody. How many teams in the AFC right now do we care about as far as the Titans are concerned? I think we will all agree that we can care about four teams for sure. The Ravens, the Chiefs, the Browns, and the Bills. Fair?
Fair.
Ian, fair?
Yep.
Okay. Do we care about the Steelers?
No.
I think a little bit. I'm going to go a little. Yeah.
So I'm torn on the Steelers. My gut tells me no. So we're going to have to not care about the Steelers since it's best two out of three here. Caroline said no. I'm saying no on Steelers. So put them out. The Dolphins. Do we care about the Dolphins? Now, remember, last year, the Titans had to win that last game of the season in order to make the playoffs, or at least they thought they did at the beginning of the day, because the Dolphins had beaten the Raiders, and that had given them hope in Week 17, and then they got smacked on the road by Buffalo, and the Dolphins have Tua at quarterback, so they have no Ryan Fitzpatrick to bail them out this year. But we thought the Dolphins were going to be the worst team in the league 2 years ago. Brian Flores is a good coach. Tua in his second year, no hip injury to deal with. They've been picking great picks because they robbed the Texans of all of their picks. Are we worried about the Dolphins?
See, I think I put my amount of worry with the Dolphins in the same category and my amount of worry with the Steelers. Because when we did should win, should lose, when we looked at the Titans schedule, I put the Dolphins and the Steelers both as a should win. So neither of those I think are a slam dunk either way. I lean no, but could possibly be persuaded maybe.
Ian, are you worried about the Dolphins?
I don't know. I'm kind of down on the Dolphins this year. I'm not really sure why. I guess Tua could really have a, breakout kind of thing. I'm out. No, I'm not worried about the Dolphins.
So here was the Dolphins. They had a bye week in October. And since after that, they beat the Rams, they beat the Cardinals, they beat the Chargers. Now, The Rams are obviously the best of those three teams, but okay, they lost to Denver, and Denver stinks. They beat the Jets and the Bengals. They lost to Kansas City. They beat the Patriots and the Raiders. They lost to the Bills. So they won against one good team for the whole rest of the year, and that was the Rams. So is that a little fool's gold based upon, you know, this is, I don't know. Dolphins are tricky.
I think Dolphins are tricky because nobody's talking about the Dolphins at all. Nobody's talking about how there could be a potential upside. Nobody's talking about, I just haven't heard much about the Dolphins. So I really don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, like, anybody on their defense.
Do you know what's crazy? Their defense finished sixth last year in the NFL.
That's crazy. A tribute to their coach, Flores, but I don't know. Like, I don't really know many of their players on defense.
Well, it's because they've been drafting so much lately. Like, now they have Zaven Howard, who doesn't want to be there anymore, mm-hmm. at corner, and then they've got Byron Jones from the Cowboys, who they paid all that money to. But I'm with Ian. Like, I don't really know much of the Dolphins' defense, but they were sixth in the league in defense last year. The only storyline nationally that anyone cares about with the Dolphins is whether or not they're going to give up on Tua after this year. That's really the only big story. I'm with you, Caroline. If I'm not worried about the Steelers, I'm not getting worried about the Dolphins.
I put them in the same category.
Okay, so not worried about them. The Patriots. Are we worried about the Patriots? They were god-awful last year. Cam Newton, I have been very outspoken upon. I think his career is over, and I think he kind of stinks. And they've drafted Mac Jones, and even if Mac Jones is good, I'm not sure it makes much of a difference as a rookie that he's going to come in and lead the Patriots to greatness. But they did add Hunter Henry. They did add Jonnu Smith. They did add Nelson Aguilar. They did add Kendrick Bourne. The Patriots.
I'm not going to worry about Nelson Aguilar.
Like, I'm not, like, this is, I'm not really worried about Jonnu Smith on a team where I don't know if they can throw the ball.
Yeah. I think that the Patriots X factor this year could be Mac Jones. But then again, am I going to put all of my stock into an X factor being the rookie quarterback? I don't know.
If Mac Jones is Justin Herbert last year, are the Patriots a playoff caliber team? And they were 7-9 last year.
The Chargers or the Patriots?
The Patriots.
If Mac Jones is Justin Herbert, but Mac Jones won't be their starting quarterback.
Well, if he's Justin Herbert, he will be their starting quarterback.
The way that it's looking now, Cam seems like the solidified starter.
This time last year, Tyrod Taylor was the starting quarterback of the Chargers.
That's also fair. If Mac Jones is Justin Herbert last year, then yes, I'm worried about the Patriots, but that's an if. If Mac Jones starts and if Mac Jones is Justin Herbert last year.
Ian, are we worried about the Patriots?
I do think their defense will be better. There looks like they're getting a lot of their players back who opted out because of COVID.
That's true.
I'm still not there. No, I'm not that worried. Not with Cam and a rookie quarterback.
Are you worried about the Patriots, yes or no?
I'm going to say yeah.
I'm torn. I don't want to count Belichick out.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If I'm on the fence, then Belichick is going to be that thing that tips me over to the worry category.
I don't want to count Bill Belichick out. I want to count this team out. I don't want to count Bill Belichick out. The Raiders. Now, the Raiders are kind of an interesting team because every now and then, like a couple years ago, the 2019 season, the Titans were towards the end of the year. There was a trip to Oakland that they had to win because the Raiders were a part of the whole equation at the end of the year, maybe trying to back in. They were 8-8 last year, which I think they were 8-8 the year before. They were awful at the end of the season. They lost to the Colts. They lost to the Chargers. They lost to the Dolphins. They beat the Broncos in the last week of the year in a meaningless game. But, I mean, they lost to Atlanta. They lost, I believe, 5 of their last 7 last year. They got Derek Carr at quarterback. Nothing really to see there. They got Gruden at coach. Nothing to see there. 30th ranked in defense a year ago. Is there any fear of the Las Vegas Raiders? It should be noted we'll be playing in that stadium with fans for the first time ever. Are we worried about the Raiders?
I'm not.
Ian?
No.
Okay, I think we can move on from them pretty quickly too.
Yeah.
So did we say that we're in on the Patriots? We are going to lump them in the group of teams that we're worried about?
I think so. I think so, yeah.
Okay, so we have them. Then there's the Chargers. This is the last team that I have as a possibility. Like, I'm not worried about Denver. I'm not worried about Cincinnati. I'm not worried about any of the teams in your division. And I think that's the AFC. The Chargers. Now, the Chargers were pretty bad last year, too. 7-9, fired the coach. Hired a guy I've never heard of before who was a defensive coach for the Rams. They were 18th in offense last year. Down the stretch, though, they won their last four games against the Falcons, Raiders, Broncos, and they beat the Chiefs in the last week of the year. I mean, you know, Kansas City was not that 38-21. I mean, that's kind of a meaningless game. But other than that, I mean, they were so-so. They started the year off a brutal 1-4. Then they lost three of their next four. Then they won five of the final seven. They got Herbert at quarterback, the reigning rookie of the year. Their defense was ranked 23rd. They added Lindsley, the center from Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think. They lost Hunter Henry. I'm trying to think if they made any other
Jared
big moves.
Jared Cook. They got Jared Cook as their tight end now.
Jared Cook.
Well, like any big needle-moving moves that the Chargers made. They've lost Melvin Ingram. He's not there anymore.
Asante Samuel.
Are we worried about the Chargers?
I am. Worried about the Chargers.
Why?
Is there
a reason to worry about them other than Herbert? Like, is that it?
That's the main reason, I'd say.
That's my biggest reason.
Like, if Herbert becomes a dude,
if he takes another step, yeah.
It very well could be that Justin Herbert has a sophomore slump and it takes a little bit of time for them to get back up. But right now, where it stands, I do worry about the Chargers, yes.
I mean, I'm looking at their schedule. They play at Washington, and people are telling me Washington's going to be good this year. I'll believe that when I see it. They're at Washington and home against Dallas. They should win both of those games. At Kansas City, Raiders, Cleveland, at Baltimore.
That's a tough stretch.
I mean, that's not Indy's first 5 weeks, but that's certainly not easy. I mean, they've got a very mixed schedule.
I could easily see them losing three of those four.
They got, you know, New England and the Eagles and the Vikings and the Steelers and the Broncos and the Bengals and the Giants and then the I mean, honestly, they probably should make the playoffs. Like this
after that four-game stretch, it seems pretty easy.
This doesn't seem like a very difficult division. I'm going to say this. I'm not worried about Chargers are tough. I'm going to say worried about the Patriots. Not worried about the Chargers.
Really? You are more worried about the Patriots than the Chargers?
I am.
With Cam Newton.
Well, I don't think it can be Cam. I think it's going to be Mac. I think eventually it'll be Mac. I think in all these places, like, I have no idea who's going to start week one for the Chicago Bears. I think ultimately it's going to be Fields.
Yeah.
Like, it's in Miami, it was Fitzpatrick week one. In Los Angeles, it was Tyrod Taylor week one. And then very quickly, they are getting
transitioned to rookies.
So the official worry meter, Ian, are you worried about the Chargers?
I think I kind of am, maybe a little bit. Maybe I'm buying into the Herbert hype, but I'm going to say yes.
Like, I don't live in a world where only your quarterback makes you a good team, especially that team, because Rivers was good for a long time and they were pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some elite years with Rivers where they were like 14-2 and things like that. But my list is Ravens, Chiefs, Browns, Bills, Patriots. No Steelers, no Colts, no Dolphins, no Raiders, no Chargers. You guys are willing to put the Chargers on there, so let's just put it on there. So it's Ravens, Chiefs, Browns, Bills, Patriots, Chargers. Gosh, if we're worried about the Chargers, like at the end of the day when we look at the Titans and we're discussing, you know, this team, like, the Chargers.
I mean, if you look at the two rosters on paper, I take the Titans roster all day. But I still think they could be a cause for concern.
Okay, those are the teams we care about in the AFC. Ravens, Chiefs, Browns, Patriots, Chargers. Your reaction, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. We'll also give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see James Taylor. We will do that at Bridgestone Arena later this hour. Sounds baseball tonight on 102.5 The Game. The Sounds play a doubleheader at First Horizon Park against the Toledo Mud Hens. The AAA affiliate of the Detroit Tigers. Pregame with Jeff Hym starts at 6. First pitch of game one at 6:05. Sounds baseball on 102.5 The Game, presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Stillman and Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The little glimpse of light is this division's so bad. In half the divisions in football, the season would be over. If they were in the AFC North with the Steelers and the Ravens and the Browns, it'd be over. Season over. If they were in the NFC West with the Seahawks and the Niners and the Rams and Arizona, season over. In their division with the Jags and Houston and Tennessee, they may be able to just win ugly 19-17, 2017, field goal it, play defense, good coaching, ball control. They may be able to be a couple games under 500, get hot late in the year with Carson Wentz.
That was Colin Cowherd. That division's so bad, nobody's worried about. I don't know. I mean, I think the Titans are pretty good. Titans have been pretty good the last 5 years, or at least the last 3 years they've been pretty good, or three of the last 4 years they made the playoffs. So I just, again, when I covered the Patriots in New England, all the talk was about Peyton in Denver or Baltimore. That was it. Nobody was worried about the Miami Dolphins. So this year, Titans in the AFC, we are officially worried about the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Browns, the Bills, the Patriots, simply because of Belichick, and the Chargers, simply because of Justin Herbert. Let's go to your reaction. 615-737-1025, text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Chad says, y'all are overlooking the Dolphins in this discussion. Tua takes a step forward, and that offense should be really potent. Put them in over Patriots as teams. Titans should pay attention and quest for the AFC championship game.
I am open to the idea that the Dolphins are good this year.
I'm not totally out on the Dolphins. The only reason I think I was willing to push the Patriots in over to the Dolphins is Bill Belichick.
So here's my thing about the Dolphins. The Dolphins are very much like the Titans, in the sense that there's really never anything interesting about them. Like, even when they're good, they're not interesting. Last year, they almost had a shot to make the playoffs, and it wasn't interesting. I mean, when they made the playoffs with Matt Moore and Ryan Tannehill, they weren't interesting. And Tannehill's not interesting. The reason Tannehill is always crapped on, as far as all these lists are concerned, are because he's not interesting. Like, he doesn't move the needle. That's how Colin Cowherd can get off on saying, the thing for Indianapolis is at least they're in this terrible division that has maybe the most efficient passer in the league. Has two number one wide receivers, the best running back in the NFL. But we overlooked that because the Titans don't, you know, people don't care too much about the Titans. Dolphins are the same way. So, if that sixth-ranked defense for Brian Flores is really good and we don't know it, and Tua takes a big step going forward, no COVID, no hip injury, no, you know, experience of the first year, understands the offense, then, whew, like maybe the Dolphins could be good. I just don't know enough players on the Dolphins to be scared of the Dolphins. Whereas, like, I look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and I see a lot of guys I've heard of. I look at the Cleveland Browns, I see a lot of guys I've heard of. But I am open to the Dolphins not being terrible this year. What's next?
Neil texts in and says, who in the heck is worried about the Patriots?
I mean, I think that we have to assume that they're going to be better with the greatest coach of all time.
And also, you look at the Patriots last year, and I can totally understand that feeling of why would you be worried about them. But how many times have we seen Bill Belichick? And granted, he has had Tom Brady for much of his tenure as New England's head coach. But how many times has he gone back-to-back losing seasons and being bad? I have a hard time believing.
So the first year they were 5-11.
Okay.
Second year they won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Third year they were 9-7, missed the playoffs. They went to the playoffs every year, including winning two more Super Bowls, until 2008 when they went 10-6 and missed the playoffs. And then they didn't miss the playoffs until last year. So to answer your question, almost never. Now you want to go dig up the Cleveland stuff, fine. But I will say, you know, the Cleveland stuff might be a little applicable for Belichick right now because what he didn't have in Cleveland, Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that's worth a discussion, but we can have the Brady-Belichick talk any day of the year or any day of the week, any day of the year, any day of the week, any day of the month. You can talk about Brady and Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big year for Belichick, and I believe in Belichick. Now, do I believe that he's going to have a Super Bowl contender? No. do I believe that Belichick is not going to let him get himself get embarrassed? Because when you cut ties with Brady and then you're awful and then Brady wins the Super Bowl, he clearly gets the one up on you. I can't imagine Belichick's going to be okay with that. So I still think Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. And I can't dog on Belichick until they're bad this year. And then I can be like, okay, yeah, this team sucks. But I can't do that yet.
Right. And I'm willing to admit that the Patriots were one of those teams that I'm not, yep, uh-huh, signed, sealed, delivered. I'm worried about them. I mean, I'm a little bit iffy about the Patriots as well, but I am willing to lean toward worrying about them.
Well, here's the thing that gets me, though. The Steelers or the Patriots, the Steelers probably have better players, and they do have a good coach, but I just think they fluttered out last year.
But Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback.
Yeah, I think he's done. I mean, I said this. He's too old. He's too fat. He's too injured. And then on top of that, they lost a lot. Like, Pouncey retired, and they lost to Castro, and they've lost. I mean, it's basically Juju Smith-Schuster, TJ Watt, and...
And also, does Juju Smith-Schuster really make you worried?
Nah, I think Juju's overrated.
Unless it comes to TikTok, I think I'm good.
I think Juju's overrated. Jason Fitz, ESPN Radio, says he'll join us next. So we will talk to Fitz, perhaps. We'll ask him about this. How worried should we be about the Colts? How worried are we not about everybody else? What does he think of it? That's next. Stillman and Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Stillman and Company, the official AFC team list that we are worried about as far as the Titans are concerned, because we are no longer worried about the Colts. Though, honestly, like, were we really all that worried about the Colts before this stuff?
I wasn't willing to count them out, but especially now, I'm good. I mean, like, I'm past the Colts. They're done.
If the Patriots or the Chargers made the list, then Indy would have definitely made the list. But it is now the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Browns, the Bills, the Patriots because of Belichick, the Chargers because of Justin Herbert. Jason Fitz joins us now, ESPN Radio, presented by Blood Assurance. So, Fitzy, what do you think of that list, and are you as out on the Colts as we are now?
No, I'm not as out on the Colts as you guys are by any stretch of the imagination. Like, I think the Colts, top to bottom, are one of the best rosters in the NFL in 5 to 12 weeks. I mean, I know that's a long, long span, but you got to look at 5 to 12 weeks. Like, there's a real shot that Carson Wentz is back by week two, you know, and at some point, I thought Phillip Rivers was washed going into last year. I expected absolutely nothing from Phillip Rivers last year, and they still won 11 games with the quarterback that I think was a liability as a player. So, no, I'm not out on the Colts at all. I mean, fact is, yes, the Quentin Nelson injury hurts, but they still have a talented defense and can still run the football. So I don't know what they're going to do at the quarterback position, but until we hear that this is going to keep, you know, Carson out for more than, let's say, 5 or 6 weeks, I don't see any reason to think that they can't be in the contention for it.
So what makes them, in your opinion, what gives them one of the best top-to-bottom rosters? Because I hear the national media say this a lot, like, oh, my God, Chris Ballard's just so great. Oh, my God, Frank Reich's just so great. And then I was listening to Dan Dockich yesterday, and he was just bagging on Ballard. And I was thinking about Ballard and how much praise Ballard gets. And he's pretty much a 500 general manager. Like, they have had 500 teams. And he can't figure out the quarterback position. And that's a big part of being a good general manager. And that's a big part of having a good roster. And I keep wondering, like, everybody has good players. The Washington football team, they have good players. What makes the Colts roster so great? They don't have a left tackle. They don't have an answer at quarterback. They don't have a backup plan for what should have definitely needed a backup plan at the quarterback position. What makes them so special?
Well, you're really focusing mostly. Most of your critique, I think, is very fair when it comes to the quarterback position. And frankly, I think the Colts were ignorant to not get a backup quarterback from the outset. Like, I will totally agree with you. And, T.Y. Hilton may not be the player he was, for example, on the outside. I can also agree with that. But Jonathan Taylor is an incredible running back, by the way. They've got Pittman Jr. is a good wide receiver. They've got guys that are explosive on the outside. And their offensive line has been very good. Yeah, I know that we can look at the left tackle position and say that's the question mark, but that's the only question mark on their offensive line until Quentin Nelson went down with an injury. And again, we're talking about a 5-week injury. When you look on the defensive side of the ball,
I mean, 5-12-week injury, but yes.
Well, it's a 5-12, yeah, but we're not talking about a season-ending injury. And you look at the defensive side of the ball, They've got a ton of speed, a ton of playmakers, a ton of guys that can actually get after it. Like, their defense is really tough to play against. They are tough against the run. They're tough against the pass. I mean, I don't know, other than the quarterback, if you take quarterback totally out of the equation and you just look at the Colts roster, can you not say that that roster minus the quarterback is one of the better in the league?
No, I don't think that. Like, honest to God, Fitz, like, I don't. I mean, you talk about their defense, right? How many players on their defense are Pro Bowl caliber players? Two?
I mean, Justin Houston, I know, is on the decline. He's not who he was, but he's still very good.
He's not there anymore. I think he just signed somewhere else, right? He signed in Baltimore.
Houston's still there?
He did sign
okay,
in Baltimore.
Okay.
Yeah.
My bad, then. That is my bad. You know, I'm cramming a lot here, so maybe not. DeForest Buckner can play. We all know that, right?
Buckner and Leonard, yes.
Darius Leonard, yeah, that was going to say. That is a ton there. I mean, that in and of itself is already very good. Like, I mean, you look at, to answer your question on who the Pro Bowlers are, I mean, there's a couple of them if nothing else goes right. Like, I don't have a problem with that.
So this is my thing, because and you're not the only person that said this. Colin Cowherd the other day, Jason Fitz with his ESPN Radio Blood Assurance, give blood, give local, save lives. Colin Cowherd the other day said, Indianapolis for the last 3 years has done absolutely everything right, and it's just bad luck that has gotten them. And I'm like, holy crap, where do you come away from that take? Like, how can you say that? And I feel like it is a myth. The Colts roster is a myth. It is a myth that it's this good. Even their offensive line. They've got a good offensive line. Brian Kelly's a good center. Braden Smith's a good right tackle. Quentin Nelson's going to the Hall of Fame. But they don't have a left tackle. Like, they don't
have... Yeah, but they have a... I mean, they do have a left tackle. He's coming off an Achilles injury. I mean, we all know Fisher's coming off an injury. But it was the top five offensive line by Pro Football Focus last year against the run and the pass, which is incredibly difficult to do. I mean, I think you're underselling that part of it. And, you know, they've got other players. I'm looking again here because I just didn't have it in the front of my mind, but Willis is absolutely a really good safety at this point. I know that that's a small piece of it, but that's not a small piece of it. And if we're going to give benefit of the doubt to anything, they went in and they attacked the draft. I mean, Quiddy Pay is expected to be able to contribute as a pass rusher too. So, you know, I think you're sort of underselling. Look, I said last year going into the year, the Colts roster was much better than the Titans, but Phillip Rivers was a liability at quarterback, and I still believe that. Like, you can't be a gunslinger quarterback that no longer has the power to sling, and then all of a sudden all you're doing is you're creating turnovers. Like, I thought Phillip Rivers was the biggest failing that they had last season. So, in my mind, even if they've got injuries for 5 weeks, why can they not, with that offensive line, even if they have to figure out patchwork with Quentin Nelson in the beginning, and with that offensive line, they can run the ball. They're going to have a tough schedule the first, 6 weeks, 8 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. And then it gets a little more manageable for them. Like, the Colts, to me, are still absolutely, they're going to be just fine.
Man, I just so disagree. And this, I feel like, and it's unfair because you guys have to cover 32 teams. I get to cover one. So you have to, like, know all this difference about it. I think the Colts stuff is so overrated. I think they are so, first of all, I mean, the Wentz thing, we don't even know if Wentz is good. Like, that's the one thing that people sometimes overlook is, you know, Wentz is, now he's down and he's going to be out. They don't have an answer at quarterback. We didn't even know if Wentz was going to resurrect his career. Some people were optimistic that he would, but we didn't know. But I just hear the gushing of the roster. When I look at the Browns roster, that is a complete roster. That is a team that's got a... They got two running backs that are studs. They got three wide receivers. They got two tight ends. They do have a quarterback. They've got the best pass rusher in the league. Like, that is a roster. Indy, they've got 3/5 of an offensive line. They maybe have a quarterback when he's healthy. They've got a good running back. Taylor's a good running back. They're okay at receiver. They're okay at tight end. I mean, I just don't see it, Fitz. What about the Patriots? We put them on the list. We didn't put the Steelers on the list, so we're not worried about the Steelers, but we decided we're worried about the Patriots because we don't know Mac Jones and because Bill Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. Should the Patriots be on the list of teams that the Titans could worry about as AFC contenders?
No. I mean, the Patriots are a fringe playoff team. Like, at this point, the Patriots are clearly – nowhere near the Bills when it comes to their own division. Like, the Bills will run away with that division. The Patriots are falling far behind, you're also presuming Mac Jones is going to get the job. I'm not presuming that about Mac at all. Like, as much as I'd like to see him get the job, Cam is still going to have every shot at the job, and I don't think that's a great situation for them either. Like, you can't give the benefit of the doubt to these players with one situation and not give it to them with the other. I mean, if I'm looking at the opportunities at quarterback, I'm with you. I think the hype on Carson Wentz is absolutely overblown, and I will not disagree with that portion of your take at all. I think you are spot on. But if I'm going to sit here and say, oh, Carson Wentz, man, then why am I going to sit here and turn around and say Mac Jones is suddenly going to be epic in his rookie year, or that Cam Newton's going to suddenly turn things around? That's a huge leap for me. And while the Patriots have gone out and signed a lot of big players and spent a lot of money, we also have no idea how that all equates. Like, there are certain organizations that have tried that in the past, but every time they try it, we just laugh at them. Philadelphia did it with the Dream Team. The Washington football team did it year in and year out. It didn't work, and we laugh at those organizations for the way they bring talent together just thinking it'll work. You're just giving Belichick all of the benefit of the doubt here, and I realize that he's been absolutely spectacular as a coach. I don't look at that roster and think it puts them anywhere better than, at best, second in their division, and they may even be third in their division when this is all said and done.
Jason Fitz with us, presented by Blood Assurance. Give blood, give local, save lives. Ravens, Chiefs, Browns, Bills, Titans. Rank them.
Chiefs number one for me still. I'm just not going to move the Chiefs off that pedestal despite the Super Bowl. The Bills number two for me. And then you said Ravens, Chiefs, Browns, Bills, Titans. Chiefs, Bills, I'll say Ravens, then Browns are the four that I would be worried about. I put them above Cleveland, so I think that's probably fair. I don't put them above Buffalo, so I'll put them at third. I'll put them at third coming into the season.
Woo, that is an interesting take. I have a hard time. People, I did a radio hit the other day. They asked me how Julio's doing. I'm like, I don't know. He doesn't practice. So, you know, I don't know how to say, like, hey, how's Julio? I don't know. He dropped a touchdown. You know, I say pretended to be hurt. He dropped a touchdown. He stretched himself out, went in the locker room, and I haven't seen him since. So, I don't know what to tell you on that front. Jason Fitz, ESPN.
But Julio, to me, though, the one thing I'd say about that, Stillman, is that Julio is just, like, he's gravy at this point. Like, he's gravy on the potatoes. Like, the potatoes for this offense, it's still really good, whether Julio's great in the beginning or not, whether it takes Julio some time to get, like, the only question mark any of us have about this Titans team is can their defense be anything less than horrific? And that's a big question. That's a fair question to ask. But I think, frankly, they can get away with being a horrific defense for a while because their offense is going to be good enough while their defense tries to gel.
You know what's crazy to think about? We were talking about this earlier today on the show. Dean Pease's first season, so 2018, Vrabel's first year, the Titans had the third-ranked defense in scoring defense. Like, how did it get so bad so fast?
Well, I mean, that shows you the alarming impact of coaching, by the way, and it shows you that certain guys got to develop. Like, you've got to draft well, and you've got to develop well. You know, the thing of it is, too, as I say, the Titans are going to develop defensively and be just fine. If we're going to say the Colts have a tough opening few weeks, so do the Titans. So, you know, we're going to find out a lot about the defense in the first couple of weeks for sure.
Jason Fitz, ESPN Radio, as always, presented by Blood Assurance. Give blood, give local, save lives. Appreciate you, Fitz.
You guys are the best. Have a great week.
Yep, Jason Fitz joining us on the program. I love Fitz. That's bull crap about Indy's roster.
I'm not drinking the Indy Kool-Aid.
Like, I have, like, hey, name me some, if this defense is so great, name me some good players off of it. Buckner and Leonard, I'll give you.
I'll give you that. I like Jonathan Taylor.
Well, I'm talking about on defense.
On defense, okay.
But on offense, everybody just says things like, Indy's got the best offensive line.
Okay.
Who is their left tackle? Well, it'll be Eric Fisher eventually, but right, Sam Tevy. That's their left tackle right now. Okay. Like, Quiddy Pay, and he'll be out there. Okay. But I'm not excited about Caleb Farley. I'm not excited because it's a rookie, and what's he doing? And what?
Quiddy Pay is a question mark.
I mean,
a guy who you heard not so great things about going into the draft. I guess we'll see. But
I mean, the national media, and this is not a Fitz thing. This is a national media thing. They have their heads so far up Chris Ballard's rear end, and I don't know why. Ian, if you could get that Dan Dockage from yesterday. I mean, even the local people don't have their heads so far up this man's butt. And yet, Colin Cowherd and Fitz and everybody on here. I mean, it's just this indie roster is so great. How is it so great? Everybody has good players. So if you're going to tell me, Jonathan Taylor is a great running back.
He is.
But is he better than everybody else's good running back? Is he
He's not better than Derrick Henry.
Is he better than Cleveland's good running back?
No.
Is he better than Minnesota's good running back?
No.
Is he? So, like, I just...
Do I think that he has the potential to be? Absolutely, yeah. He's not there yet.
These people have their heads so far up this man's butt. And even the local guy, Dan Dockage, who claims to be friends, even he's looking at Chris Ballard like, what the heck?
I've been critical, and I've talked about this all summer long. There was no plan at left tackle when Costanza was talking. Yep. Now you don't know who that is. There was no plan at quarterback unless you really believe in Easton. And my people are telling me they really do, but they don't because of what you just said. I mean, I've been all over Chris, but I like Chris. Chris comes in. He's great. He's a friend. We text. But, man, everybody telling me he's the greatest drafter, blah, blah. I guess we're going to see. But shouldn't he maybe have had a plan in place for the quarterback position?
I mean, seriously, like this, everybody else, though, they got their head so far up Indy's butt. I don't get it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll do some headlines with Caroline next. 615-737-1025. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app, and I promised we'd give away some James Taylor tickets, so let's do it now. Caller 5, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025, be caller 5, and you will win a pair of tickets to see James Taylor at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, August 16th. Good luck to all of you. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game. Stillman and Company. Apparently Dan Dockage was on Darren Donick and Chase and just absolutely letting the Colts have it, which I like. Local guy that rips the team. I've been replying into the text line lately. Our text line phone line driven by WillScottyHunter.com. I've been literally just rolling through it, and like somebody's sitting there saying the Titans only have Derrick Henry at running back and the Colts have Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, and Marlon Mack. Okay. And I'll give the ball to Derrick Henry, and you can give the ball to all three, and I'll feel comfortable giving it to Derrick Henry. The end. Like, I'm sorry.
We'll race ya.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, just, I don't know. The Indianapolis Colts, man. I can't. I cannot with the Colts. Time now for headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman and Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Speaking of the Colts, I have a couple stories about two of their former quarterbacks, one being Peyton Manning, who will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this Sunday, and none other than his divisional rival for nearly a decade and a half will be in attendance. Tom Brady will fly out to Canton, Ohio on Sunday on his off day from training camp with the Bucks to celebrate Peyton's gold jacket. It's a pretty cool story out of Peyton and Tom Brady.
So is Brady going for Peyton, or is Brady going, like, because I think, is it Ty Law maybe is in this class, or Richard Seymour is in this class, or one of those former Patriot guys? Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be very easy to say, oh, no, I'm here for Richard Seymour or whatever. I don't know. But if Brady is taking the day to fly to go celebrate Peyton Manning, that is an incredibly classy gesture.
Oh, so cool. And I don't know exactly if it was just Peyton Manning or maybe it was a little bit of a gumbo pot of honoring old Patriots, honoring an old friend and divisional rival. But even still.
Although they were only in the same division for 1 year.
Were they?
Yeah, 2001, the AFC East, then Indianapolis. They took the Central, and they made it four divisions. And so the Central became the North and the South, and Indy went to the South.
Well, both in the AFC.
Yeah, they were conference rivals.
14 conference rivals for 14 years. Another former Indianapolis Colt didn't have as much success there, but Philip Rivers.
First of all, let me say something before I cut you off.
Okay. Well, you did, but go
ahead. We need to stop crapping on Philip Rivers in Indianapolis last year. Because, yeah, he threw the ball like an old peepop. And
well,
yeah,
he is an old peepop.
But, like, he didn't suck last year.
No.
I mean, we need, like, listening to Fitz, I mean, you would think that he was talking about Mariota in the Denver game before he got benched. That's how bad Phillip Rivers was.
No, he wasn't bad.
Like, Phillip Rivers was
fine. I mean, the Indy won some pretty solid games last year.
Phillip Rivers last year was probably the same, maybe a little bit better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, that's not the kind of similar to Alex Smith with Washington last year. Like, not terrible, but not, like, not Andy Dalton in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Rivers was not. Rivers came in here, and I know the Titans even sucked, but Rivers was okay. So we, everybody around the country with this, Ballard must send cookies to everybody in the national media because they spin everything to make the Colts look good. I don't get it. I do not get it. But we need to stop dumping on Phillip Rivers. I'm sorry.
Well, Phillip Rivers told the Los Angeles Times that he has stayed ready and isn't ruling out an NFL return. So he retired in January, 16 seasons with the Chargers, one with the Colts. We all know that. But he told the Los Angeles Times, I'm just going to stay ready. I want to make sure I'm very clear. I'm not predicting I will play in December or January for that matter. One, you've got to have somebody who wants you. And two, it's got to be right. The timing, he said it's just got to be right. But I think this timing just feels very interesting.
Yeah.
Wentz goes down, and all of a sudden, Phillip Rivers isn't ruling out an NFL return after he retired after 17 seasons in the NFL. That felt like to me, that didn't feel like an, oh, Phillip Rivers is going to leave and potentially come back. That was a Phillip Rivers is done playing football. And now all of a sudden, he decided to tell everyone that he's been trying to stay in shape.
So the Indianapolis Colts, according to OverTheCap.com, have $11.2 million in cap space. Phillip Rivers ain't coming for $11 million.
For $11 million.
I mean, he's not doing it. He made $25 million last year.
Right.
So that's he's not doing that. So I don't.
And are they bringing back Phillip Rivers for 5 to 12 weeks?
I would say this. Of all the options Indy has, acquiring Rivers would scare me the most. So adding Rivers back into the mix, knowing that it would take him 2 weeks to shake the rust off and be ready to play.
He hasn't been gone that long.
No, and if he says he's been training and staying in shape, I trust him. You know, like right now, Ryan Tannehill, he's been there for a week. He's ready to play football.
Mm-hmm.
And Phillip Rivers knows how to play. So if Rivers were to return at Indianapolis, that would scare me more than them acquiring Nick Foles. That would scare me more than Jacob Eason or Brett Hundley or any of those bums they have now. Phillip Rivers would scare me the most. But again, he's not playing for $11 million. If you're going to get Rivers out of retirement, you're going to have to give him at least 15 or 18 or something like that. So you'd have to cut somebody else. And then to your point, if Wentz comes back and then you have him and Rivers on the bench, how are you going to feel about that? And I don't see it being a likely scenario, but as somebody who covers this team and thinks about it through the lens of the Titans, Rivers returning to Indianapolis would be what bothers me the most outside of like a trade for Aaron Rodgers or something else that's just ridiculous and unfathomable.
Hypothetically speaking, Phillip Rivers comes back to Indianapolis and is the starting quarterback until Carson Wentz is healthy enough to play. Are you counting Indianapolis back in?
No, because I think Rivers is your starting quarterback. So, like, Mike Tannenbaum talked about this on ESPN, that when Tannehill tore his ACL, they signed Jay Cutler out of retirement, and they weren't very good and whatever, but you knew that Tannehill was out for the whole year. In this instance, I mean, that's a really odd dynamic. If you have Rivers play five games and then turn it over back to Wentz, like, I don't see that. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, the most logical
If Wentz was out for the season, then I could see it being more logical and more realistic.
The most realistic move is to trade for Foles. I mean, that's the only move that
that's
really
what makes sense Chicago with the cap. That's what makes sense with Carson Wentz. Yeah. Yes.
What's next?
So a couple more quarterback stories, but maybe guys who aren't old peepups. Matthew Stafford banged his hand against a helmet in practice on Tuesday. Sean McVay did not intend for him to come back on Tuesday, did not intend for him to come back to practice today. So there's a pretty solid contusion there in his thumb, but Matthew Stafford was back out at practice today. Sean McVay said that he is tough. He's out there today. Didn't have any limitations. I don't really think it's anything to worry about Matthew Stafford. I'm not going to call home and say, oh, my gosh, look at how tough and gritty Matthew Stafford is for coming back to practice. But, you know, a story to surround Rams training camp. I don't take a ton from it. I think he'll be fine. I think his thumb will be fine. And I'm not willing to say that he's the toughest guy in the world.
Yeah, no, I think it's fine. That's not a big one.
Yeah. And also an injury that could potentially be a big one that was written off as not a big deal, but it feels like it's becoming a bigger deal, is Dak Prescott. He's been experiencing some shoulder soreness, a shoulder strain, and Dallas said they have remained cautious with Dak Prescott's return. Mike McCarthy says we're being a little bit more conservative with his rehab. We just want to make sure this doesn't turn into something bigger. So Mike McCarthy says he hasn't experienced any setbacks, but don't want to push it in case he eventually does experience setbacks down the line. I don't know if I totally buy it.
No, Tim Hasselbeck on ESPN was all about this, and so was Mike Tannenbaum.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Tannenbaum was basically like, a quarterback that's tired with an arm in August, what's it going to be like in November?
When
and
you're
also,
throwing four or five out of the 7 days of the week.
Quarterbacks throw with their legs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was Dak not able to train? That sounds like a compensation injury, and I would be concerned as far as the Cowboys are concerned. Those are headlines with Caroline. Coming up next, speaking of injuries, there is a Titan player that maybe is injured, maybe isn't. And we know how the Titans are about telling us about injuries. But Julio Jones doesn't practice very much. And I'm wondering if that is a bad thing. We will probably pretend that it's not, but is it? We'll discuss next and what Vrabel had to say about it. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're delivered by TriStar Moving, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.